We are here with two members of Didi and the Dreamers. We have Josh Holcomb and Didi Alder. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Hello, it's so nice to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in. You're a duo, but you really do a great job of stretching your ensemble into a larger group than it is. So, Josh, let's start with you. What instruments will you be playing today?
So we're going to start out really easy with pretty much a totally acoustic song here. I'm going to be playing viola, pizzicato, and arco. And I'm not singing for this one. Didi's going to be doing that.
Yeah, I will be playing marimba. At my performances, I either play vibraphone or marimba, and I've just been kind of deciding that 2017 is a marimba year for me. So people that have seen us before maybe have seen me play vibraphone, but I'll be playing that. And both of those are mallet percussion instruments, so it's kind of like a xylophone is what most people know. And a marimba is a sort of bigger, warmer version of that. And a vibraphone is a metallic version of that. So it'll just be two acoustic instruments and vocals.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
All right.
thank you.
Well, this is Little Bean.
One, two, three, four. Take a little bean. She contains everything. She is a little seed. Go and plant her in the spring. Wait a little time as she begins to climb. You gotta water that thing so she can spread her leaves. The soil and the sun will guide her. Her breath and the rain will wash her cares away. The beauty in this hour will inspire us. She will grow. We will grow. Trim down the weeds. For your little bean, it means everything. Let her grow all big and green. Then one day, you'll be surprised to see she's blossoming. She's blossoming. Inspire us. We will grow. behind. Keep an eye on the prize. It's right outside. The wind calls, will we recognize? Let our spirit rise. Can't be trapped inside. The choice is mine. This is all of our lives. Our breath and the wind will guide us. The soil and the sun will keep us rooted down. The beauty of this life will inspire us.
Back with two members of Dee Dee and the Dreamers, Dee Dee Alder and Josh Holcomb, live in WMK's Takeda studio with Martin Clem engineering. The tune we just heard was Little Bean, and that tune has lots of meaning, or at least is, as far as I could tell, there was a double entendre there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a story about a plant or a seed growing, and they're a metaphor for life and accepting others and that kind of thing. So if you could speak a little bit about the lyrics to that song and the meaning behind that.
I would love to. So Little Bean I wrote right after having my daughter. And it was the first song I wrote.
Our daughter. We did it together.
Right after
Just to be clear.
Right after having Josh and I's daughter.
Thank you. You did do most of the work, but I helped a little bit.
Can I claim it?
Yeah, for sure.
So, thank you, Josh. Yeah. Thanks for getting it. So, Little Bean, I wrote after having our daughter, and it was the first song I wrote, and I was thinking about just this nurturing life and the beauty of that experience. And so, I start out with, you know, you take a little seed, and you plant it, and you... and how important it is to sort of tend to that seed. And all of that is a metaphor for just nurturing our daughter, but also nurturing life. It can have a broader metaphor. And then the second part of that is kind of a bigger thing that's like, we don't need to just kind of climb the ladder or to success or just run the rat race, that we can actually think of life as a marathon and slow down and really think about how our soul and our spirit is interacting in the world. And the choruses are really beautiful because it's talking about the soil and the sun and our breath and all the things that sort of nurture us and help us in life, that those are there for us to, you know, experience, and we're growing. So that's kind of the idea of Little Bean. It's a simple tune, but I feel like the metaphor is simple but very beautiful.
Yeah, you have all these simple elements, like soil and sun, and it really drives home the message, I think.
Yeah.
Another thing that's cool is I think it's a very whimsical sounding tune.
Yes.
And knowing that it's your daughter was an inspiration for that. It's even more effective. Is this a perspective you think you would have had before having a child, or in the way that you view your music and the world and the message that you want to put forth?
I think it was more meaningful. It felt deeper, like it was coming. I could have obviously taken a seed and used that as a metaphor for, you know, how we cultivate our lives. But it felt that there was a depth to that idea that the wind will guide us and the beauty of this hour will guide us, you know, and we will grow together. So,
yeah, I think probably anybody who's had kids will know that life gets a little more intense and deeper in a lot of ways. And so, yeah, I think it just it just adds a lot of depth to a lot of these ideas from the song and lets us speak from a little more experience backing up the lyrics, you know?
Yeah. Is this entirely your song, Didi, or do you work together and compose this since this is your child?
Right. Totally.
Did you both have a part in creating the song? How did that work?
Didi does a lot of the lyrics. We actually have... We met only a couple of years ago, and Didi's been doing this singer-songwriter thing for a long time, and she's just got a lot of awesome songs, and I love working with her and getting to add my part to the song. So yeah, I figured out the viola part, and as you'll hear in some of the other songs we do, most of them come from Didi, the basic core of the song, and then we'll sort of work out the arrangement together, our duo version.
So what was your musical background? Viola is your main instrument?
You
do a lot more now, but...
Yeah, for sure.
Is that what you got started on?
Yeah, I started on viola when I was like 5 years old. I was living here in Kalamazoo, and there's a viola teacher at the Suzuki Academy named Tomio Anderson. And he was my first teacher, and I believe my parents brought me there to get violin lessons. And I think Tomio just didn't have a whole lot of viola students, and he thought that I should play viola instead. And he sort of waved his magic bow, as my parents say, and he just turned a bunch of us into violists. And so I've always played viola, always loved playing viola. It's, for anybody who doesn't know, it's very similar to a violin, a little bit lower in register. And it's used to fill out the inner voices a lot in string quartets or orchestras. And so... it's very much a buddy instrument, so I love to collaborate with other people. It works very well with Didi's voice because she sings kind of high, the viola's a little lower, so I can fill out the harmonies with her. So classical music. I grew up doing a lot of classical music. When I was at Michigan, I joined the Creative Arts Orchestra, which is a free improvisation ensemble. And so later you'll hear in Hope, I'm going to get a little crazy. And that probably comes from my time in that group, but we would do anything goes as far as sounds and music. It was a lot of fun. So I got into improvisation there. And then I sort of filled in between as I moved along my musical career, got into some folk music and pop music and stuff.
Yeah, so you kind of started on a classical path and
for sure.
Really have blossomed in improvisation and...
yeah.
Lots of different avenues, as we'll hear.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, Didi, how about you? So you, is marimba your main instrument, or did you get a start with percussion?
I started in fifth grade band. Actually, it's a funny story. I started in sixth grade band, and I was starting 1 year late. And I went to the school, and she said, well, just pick any instrument that you want, which normally kids had to choose clarinet or, you know, they need to fill out their sections. So I had free rein and I saw one of the kids playing a triangle, ding, and I thought, that looks easy to learn. And so that's how I started becoming a percussionist. And as I was playing, I started to learn the xylophone, and I remember really loving it. Just really, I love this instrument, it's great. And then fast forward a bunch of years, I got into a bunch of sort of world percussion, drumming, and then I sort of got back more into classical music setting at Northwestern Michigan College, which is in Traverse City. And I finished up there, which is just a 2-year program. And I decided that I wanted to be a musician as a professional. And I didn't want to teach, and I didn't want to play in an orchestra. And so I just kind of dove in after that, and I've been taking private lessons for things that I want to learn, harmony singing or better mallet control or different world instruments. And so I've been taking private lessons for about 10 years whenever I feel like I have a weakness that needs some help. And then I've been just writing.
Or somewhere else you want to explore.
Right. You know, or if I want to explore something else.
There's always more to learn. And,
yeah. And the cool thing is that I've been looking into it. I write my songs on a mallet percussion, so vibraphone or marimba, and I sing. And I've been looking into that, and like, nobody does that. You know, there's not a lot of songwriters. They all have guitars, you know, or like maybe you'll see a cellist. Or there's a lot of variety and cool ones, but I feel like I have this real niche market where I'm one of the only or maybe the only person in the United States that's doing that.
It's a very unique thing, and that's really what stood out to me when I first heard of you guys. It's you don't see that a lot. And the marimba, you have the ability to play chords and accompany yourself. It really sets you apart from the guitarist, singer, songwriters. What other instruments do you enjoy playing that aren't necessarily, you know, just
the mallets?
The mallets.
Like, I love to play, you know, I'm a drummer.
Like 30 drums.
Yeah, I'm a drummer.
It's amazing, like from all over the world.
Yeah, so yeah. I play, you know, a bunch of hand drums, and I have tons of other, I have like a West African mallet percussion. And I play some piano, but really I just love playing mallets, and it's so much with four mallets going and all the possibilities. It's a lot to work with anyway. Yeah. So that's fine to just hang out
there. That.
Yeah. So I play some Middle Eastern percussion as well. I really like that.
Cool. So maybe if you can give us a little bit of background on the origin of your band. Josh, you said you met Dee Dee recently.
A couple years ago at a music festival, Bliss Fest. Super fun festival. I actually drove by myself because I think the weekend just opened up for me and I realized it was a possibility. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to Bliss Fest. And I drove up there myself, which I've never done before, gone to a music festival alone. And certainly, you know, met a lot of friends there. Friends from before and new friends. And yeah, I had met Dee Dee once before without going too much into the details of our relationship. We had met once before and just sort of connected and had a really fun time staying up late and talking about like surreal events in our life and like we got real deep and it was, I remember that conversation. We stayed up late and I was helping her work on CDs. And we were talking about like spiritual events that have been like turning points for our lives and things. And it was really memorable. And then hadn't seen her for quite a while after that. But then we reconnected at Bliss Fest. The full band was playing there, Dee Dee and the Dreamers, which adds two more people. They're living up in Traverse City. We got John Driscoll and Chris Michaels. And so, yeah, we sort of met and begin a relationship and a musical relationship together. And it's been really fun. We just started playing together, working out songs. That's kind of how it happens. And so the way we play just kind of depends on, you know, like what the budget is for a show, if we can get the whole band in one location for long enough to play together, that kind of thing.
Cool. So yeah. It was an existing band and you happened to meet Dee Dee and kind of just melded with what was
he joined
going
in.
On.
Actually, Josh added this before Josh came into the band, the original version of the band. I was playing a festival which was called Harvest Gathering, and I asked if I could play the closing Saturday night set, which happens at 2:30 in the morning in the barn. And the idea is I'm playing vibraphone, which is very kind of mellow harpy sound. Mm-hmm. And I thought that we could kind of get the people to go to sleep rather than like rage all night. So it's kind of a way that me and the programmers figured out to kind of get people sleepy. So the idea of the set was to sort of get people sleepy. So I named my band Dee Dee and the Dreamers, and I asked just some musicians to help play with me. And that's the original formation of the band. And after we played that show, we realized how well it fit our musical tastes and how it was a really wonderful name and how we loved playing music together. So the band started from that show. And I've been playing, as Josh said, with John Driscoll on percussion, Chris Michaels on bass. And we were a trio for a long time, and we really coordinated. But because my instrument is more chordal, and then I can play melodies, we were actually missing that fourth member that could add sort of some hook melodies and add textures and add more like a different person soloing. And so when Josh came along, he fit right in. Like, we got along obviously really well, but he also has this dreamer quality that all the band members have. They're sort of, they're men, and they
for
have
better or for worse.
They have like, they're beardy, and they're not really beardy, but like trimmed beards, and they have this certain quality. I don't know. They all have a certain quality about who they are. So he fit in with the band perfectly, as if we were just waiting for him. And from then on, we've been a four piece. And like Josh says, depending on shows, I play solo sometimes. We play as a duo a lot and do some of the same tunes and some different tunes. And then we have the four-piece band, which is percussion, bass, viola, and marimba.
We should say, too, there are many other, what do we call them? Other
part-time dreamers.
Part-time dreamers throughout Michigan and perhaps beyond. And we love to bring in other people for a show here or there. Just depending on who's around, you know, who's up for it.
Right.
But yeah, we like to collaborate a lot.
That's great. That gives you freedom to do what you want, mm-hmm. when you
yes.
want, and spread the dreamer message.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Well, why don't we move into the next tune, a little more folk-based, and we just talked about all those wonderful instruments, but I think this one is void
a cappella. Yeah.
Could you tell us about the next tune you're going to play?
Yeah, so Dear One is a little tune I wrote to make up with a boyfriend that was not Josh at the time I was fighting with. But you got to keep the songs, right? You always keep the songs. That's what you learn about life. And
I pretend it's about me.
I pretend it's about him.
It works.
It's modular.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's right.
So Dear One I wrote, and it's just this really sweet, you know, simple, melodic, a cappella piece that is really catchy and feels like it's existed for 100 years.
Yeah.
An original tune, though.
Yeah, and actually, you know, when we're singing it, to me it kind of feels like it's just about love, you know? And, you know, when we're singing in front of an audience, you know, it's to the audience, you know? It's just about love and everything that goes with it. You know, there's trials and tribulations along the way, but you just gotta
keep
you
going.
Know, you just gotta keep loving.
Yeah.
And have a scat solo in the middle of all that.
Yeah. Just let it go a little bit.
So here's the tune, Dear One.
A one, a two, a one, two, three. Oh, my dear one, how I love you so. Oh, my dear one, don't ever want to let you go. Oh, my sweetie pie, don't ever want to hurt you, no. Oh, my apple of my eye, why must it be so? My sweet darling, it hurts me so when we fight. My sweet darling, I know it ain't right. Oh, my precious one, can we both shine bright? Oh, my precious one, I just want to hold you tight. My love, my dear, wash away my tears. My heart, my soul, it's you that makes me whole. My love, my dear, wash away my tears. My heart, my soul, it's you that makes me whole. Oh, my dear one, how can we move on? Oh, my dear one, I know I can run. Oh, my honey, I want to feel sweet on me. Oh, shine for me, sunny. We fill up our energy. Oh, my love, it's you I'm thinking of. Oh, my lover, there's so much to discover. Mm-hmm. Oh, my sweet, oh, will you stay with me? Oh, my sweet, I want to feel you close to me. Boom, ba-doom, boom, 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 boom. Ba-doom, doom, boom. Ba-doom, doom, boom, ba-doom, boom, 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 boom. Ba-doom, boom, 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 boom My love, my dear, wash away my tears, my heart, my soul, it's you that makes me whole. My love, my dear, wash away my tears, my heart, my soul, it's you that makes me whole. Oh, my dear one, how I love you so. Oh, my dear one, don't ever want to let you go.
We're back with two members of Didi and the Dreamers in the WMUK Takeda studio. And we just heard Dear One, and we talked a little bit about it beforehand, but it's just one of those simple, happy folk songs that I remember singing in kindergarten, and kind of has a Montessori school kind of feel. It's just
I went to a Montessori school, actually.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
You know those songs well, then.
So this is, it's an original, right? This isn't an existing folk song.
Oh, yeah.
It totally sounded like one. That's
Isn't that funny? That's why I love playing that song, because it sounds like it just fits right in, as if I was doing a cover, but it's not.
Yeah.
It came from my brain.
Yeah. We find it really resonates with people right away, too, because we'll do a live show. And Didi likes to do these fun, like, we'll enter from opposite sides of the stage, off stage or something. Or we'll enter from the crowd and we'll just start clapping and singing it. And it's like a little disorienting, but just has this really nice groove to it. And then in the middle, sometimes we'll open it up to like freestyle scat solos for the audience. And we'll just be like, everybody. And we'd just get everybody doing and and it just turns into a little party in the middle of the song.
Yeah, you did was that a trombone-ish scat solo that you did?
Yeah, I think about trumpet, but then I start getting slidey, so then it kind of becomes trombone, yeah. I mean, you're
slide,
the expert.
Slide trumpet.
Yeah. Is that a thing, slide trumpet?
It does exist.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow. Don't want to give you any ideas. So I was curious about the writing process for a song like that. Do you, since it's just voice, do you go to the piano first and kind of work out what you want, or do you just get a fun catchy tune in your head and
it's a good go question. I normally, my process is I write the poetry first so that I can use good metaphor, or I can portray what I'm trying to portray, and then I sit down and come up with chords and melody that kind of fit what the flow of the rhythm of the words are. But this one, I wrote the words down and I just got that like, and that became probably how it turned into a folky jazz tune, is because I figured out the chords later, actually, when I was performing with some people that wanted to add some guitar to it. We sat down and figured that, it's just 1-4-5 kind of a thing, but that one was special because it is just that kind of tune that you can hum, and that's how that song was created.
Very cool. And then the hand percussion, the snapping and the clapping, it as you kind of said earlier, Josh, it probably turns into a really interactive, fun kind of experience. The crowd gets into it, I imagine, like when you play that live.
Yeah, everybody has those instruments. Everyone has a voice and two hands. Well, everyone has the ability to create some kind of percussion, even without an instrument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It kind of speaks also to, we've heard two of your songs now, and you have very, very different styles. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see how much you stretch your duo into a lot more of that. So is that something that is done out of necessity?
We can't help it. It's a problem. Our car's only so big.
Just
and we're like, Dee's like, I got to bring my Omnicord to this gig. And we, and, you know, we've got like, we started bringing a floor tom and like hi-hat and sometimes a cymbal. And we just get all these ideas for stuff. We're both air signs. So if you get into
astrology
at all, yeah, we can be very like floaty and just, you know, easy to get off task a little bit. And, you know, we just get a lot of ideas and, you know, we've got a lot of fun instruments at home. So we're like, oh, what if we add the kanjira?
Which is a percussion instrument. We always are adding things. Honestly, if I close my eyes, I have a marimba, a vibraphone to my left, a whole percussion rig that surrounds me so I can just rotate in a circle and, you know, a piano maybe in there, maybe a Rhodes. So it just goes on and on. Yeah. And
a roadie to plug everything in.
And a roadie. So carrying this stuff is too much. But we try to keep it, you know, to a minor
amount. There's limits.
But these songs do need, you know, some of the songs really need a percussion part.
Yeah.
And when we play with the four-piece Dee Dee and the Dreamers, it's very much just strictly an acoustic band. We just have one percussionist, one bass player. We don't do any looping. But when we get into the duo, we start to add kind of lots of crazy things. Yeah. And it gets sometimes more full, you know, and we have to have conversations like, maybe we shouldn't add the whole orchestral sound and then just drop it out when we change chords, because that's maybe not going to work.
Not very dreamlike.
Yeah. But, you know, in our minds, there's a lot. And the cool thing about loopers and the electronics of today is that they can help portray all the things that are happening in our minds out to the audience. Whereas before that technology existed, you either had to hire an entire orchestra to portray that or an entire band or whatever it is. Whereas now we can kind of more simply give an idea. It's like a reference to maybe the things that
the
we
idea
have
of
inside
an orchestra.
Our, yeah.
Accompanying. That's
right.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why don't we move on to the next song? Speaking of that.
Great.
And it uses quite a bit more technology and
I'm gonna be looping. I got were you asking if I would explain what we're doing next?
Yeah, maybe tell us, because it's
cut you
a
off.
Stark contrast. You have all these we went from just voices and hands to you have all these pedals in front of you.
For sure.
Talk about that.
So I've got I'm doing some beatboxing into a microphone. I'm doing some bass viola. So I have an octave pedal that I can run my viola through to make it sound more like a cello or a bass. And then I'm going to be playing just straight regular viola without the effect. I think that's it for this one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Dee Dee's playing marimba and singing. Sometimes she'll get into the looping and stuff too. But yeah, what we brought today was just like the rig. It's what we could fit in our car and do for the amount of time we have here today, you know? Yeah. So each show is a little different.
I actually have a looper, and I used to play solo and I would loop stuff on this song, but it just works out now that one person is doing the looping. So Josh has taken it on so he can loop his bass and add some more sort of string parts. But yeah, this song also features a really cool intro by Josh, which he is using the octave pedal. So it ends up making his viola sound like a cello or even deeper, maybe like a bass that's bowed. And so that's a really fun aspect that we can bring to the song.
All right. Very cool. Well, let's hear that now. And the name of the tune is?
This song is called Hope.
We are live in WMUK's Takeda studio. And this is Dee Dee and the Dreamers with Hope. Thank you.
find some hope for me, for us. Some proof that we can change our minds. A glimmer, a spark to keep my course on sight. Will we all just use it up? Till there's nothing left. Use it up. Till there's nothing left. I want to sing a song for you about stepping up and stepping out. A life of understanding and foresight. I can see it in your eyes. But can you find it within? Can we really make change? There's no one to believe we can. I see it blossom all around me. But I can't change your mind. Just accept you as you come. Accept you as you
accept you as you come.
We're back in WMUK's Takeda studio with Didi Alder and Josh Holcomb. We just heard the tune Hope, and that was very groove-based. You had kind of a funk hip-hop thing going on, rocked out a little bit with the viola there. So I really see what you mean about totally changing the dynamic of the sound. That was different from what we heard earlier. So again, just highlighting it, how versatile you guys are at just stretching your sound. A little bit about the message of that tune. There's a lyric that says, can we make change? And it's about being hopeful for acceptance. Am I kind of
Yeah, you nailed it. The song, the original version of the song I wrote as I was watching one of my friends struggle with alcoholism. And I would see him kind of make progress and sort of get a good attitude and kind of climb out of the hole he was creating. And he would be doing really well for months and months and then just watch him kind of tumble back down into it. And the process started to make me question about, like, can we really make change? Like, is it possible, or are we just stuck with the programming or the systems that are already happening in my life? And the next part of that lyric is, I see change blossoming all around me, but I can't change your mind. I can only accept you as you come, as you are. And so the idea is that through the process of accepting people where they're at, I think allows the change to happen. And that is on both this personal level of seeing my friend struggling and also the greater level about just our society and sort of what we need to change and where things are going, that sometimes it feels impossible and like you're against every, you know, everything's against you to change, where I think I see it is possible. So it's just a little bit of hope about how difficult that process is, but how I think we can do it if we first accept where we're at.
I think the song really does a great job of mirroring that message. It's a lot deeper, a lot heavier, and there's a lot more going on. It really mirrors the seriousness of the lyrics. Josh, how do you, was there some improvisation in there as well? So do you use the lyrics to kind of shape what you want to say during your solo?
Absolutely, yes. I have a lot of things that I want to tell people. Sometimes I want to scream it at them. Just like, what are you doing? I'll go to the gas station. I realize I'm there filling up my car with gas, so there's some irony, but I'm like, why are we doing this? This is not good for the environment, you know? Just there are so many things about our society that can just seem really backwards and ironic. And so when I'm playing a solo, I'm not always thinking about specific ideas like that, but I kind of tend to come back to that, and I really think about it almost in the same way I speak. And so it's hard to explain, because obviously there aren't words, and it's not like I'm thinking about words in my head, but it's like the same part of my brain that speaks is what I use to sort of construct a solo, like rhythmically and melodically. I like to think about, this is actually some great advice Didi gave me sometime. Think about, like, what are you saying when you're playing a solo? I'm definitely reacting to the sound and rhythm of, you know, the marimba and what Didi's singing about. And just thinking about what the music needs at any given moment, you know. Sometimes it needs a lot. Sometimes it doesn't need anything at all, you know. Yeah. And it's nice to just let it groove a little bit sometimes, too.
The groove is great. It's a great way to connect to your audience. I feel like if everyone's kind of nodding their head, you know, you're partly doing it because just the groove feels good, but we're all kind of agreeing with the message and with what's going on.
I'm all about the groove. I could write songs that are, we have the technical ability to write songs that are in 17 or 9 or, you know, do things like that, which are fun if you can make them groove. But I'm really interested in sort of reaching everyday people that don't study music can find something to catch on to. And I like also throwing in something that's a little fun or more complex for the people that do study, you know, and have something to grab onto. But for me, it's really making it accessible to everyone so that there's something for them, because I use music as a tool to communicate these ideas and values and to help make changes and shifts in people's day, whether that's just a smile or whether it's thinking about something or if it's a little phrase that gets caught in their head and helps them make a good decision later. Like, that's the kind of stuff that really, that's why I'm doing it. I love the music, but I want to reach the people.
Yeah.
And speaking to reaching the people, what if you could describe a typical show for Dee Dee and the Dreamers? A typical show may be atypical, but...
It probably is, because it could be a variety of... It could be Josh and I. Usually we go under our names, Dee Dee Elder and Josh Holcomb, if we're playing as a duo, but it could be a four-piece band, it could be a two-piece. And the typical show is you're going to definitely see viola and marimba. You're going to see some loops or maybe some things happening on stage that you've never seen before or that you don't quite understand how they're happening, which is the looper records and then keeps playing it over and over again, even though nobody's playing it. So you might look up and you're like, oh, wow, I'm hearing things that, you know, nobody's playing right now. It'll also include a lot of variety. It could be me playing percussion and singing. It could be Josh doing a Bach piece.
Yeah. We've done some Carnatic music from South India before. We've got the a cappella number we do. We get kind of groovy.
And usually what happens, though, is that we try to engage with the audience.
Yeah.
And so if it's, and if the audience is feeling like we're at a coffee shop and we just want to hang out and, like, work on our computer and listen, then that's fine. But we definitely try to reach and connect. And then if they're feeling energetic or engaged, then we do things like where we'll have people sing along, or we'll teach them parts, or we'll have, we'll encourage them to dance or whatever it might be. Sometimes I like to give a disclaimer at sometime during the show where I say, this music is for you. It's a gift for you. So if you want to sleep during it, if you want to dance, if you want to sing along, if you want to clap, if you want to just, feel it soak inside you or whatever it might be, that, like, this is for you. And so take from it what you need.
What a wonderful message.
Yeah, I love that, and we've been actually working with this man, his name's Rob Ryder, who is a mime, and he's been teaching us about stage presence. And so he is very much like, there is never a bad audience. Yeah. It is our job to fully engage and be present with our audience. And so he's teaching us a lot about not just like hitting play on a song in our minds and just going through the motions, but actually being there in the room with the audience and with the sound and with each other as musicians and kind of harmonizing together. Yeah. And it's been an amazing experience because it just changes your whole mental state.
Mm-hmm. He's really helped me, not be afraid to be present with an audience or with people in general. There's a song by Radiohead that I've been hanging out with a lot lately called, I think it's Lotus Flower, or just Lotus maybe. Maybe it's a different song. But there's this line about like the defense net that we all can operate within a lot in our daily lives. It can be really scary to let that down and just be yourself and bumble a little bit or, whatever, be however you are, whatever you're going to do. And and keep in mind that it all comes from somewhere. And I think deep down, we're all trying to reach this like beautiful sort of oneness and connection with each other. What may seem like very destructive tendencies people can have, like, to You know, I might say, wake up in the morning and be like, Dee Dee, why didn't you put this bowl in the sink last night? Rah, 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 rah. You know, and it's what I'm really saying is like, I have a need to clean up my house every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's always something behind what's going on.
What is it? Judgment is a reflection of your own insecurity.
For sure. And yeah.
It's easy to do that. And
yeah.
I think what's cool about music is you guys put yourself out there.
Yeah.
And you talked about connecting with the audience.
Yeah.
And you're both entering this unfamiliar space, right? The someone mm-hmm. who hasn't seen you before is kind of unsure and saying, okay, what is this all about? And you're trying to feel out the audience and respond to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of have to both meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And when you agree on, okay, I like this. This is great. It really blossoms into something really special.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
Not to put words in your mouth.
No, appreciate it. Yeah, yeah. I think it's important to just kind of open up, and that's the biggest thing I try to do when I'm playing live, is just not worry about, you know, things that can go wrong or whatever, and just play the music that I'm here to play and present that for people as it is, and let them, you know, do what they want with it. Yeah. You can listen, and you know, we're giving it as a gift.
That's great.
You know,
people can hear that gift. Coming up pretty soon, right? There's your next date is at the People's Food Co-op, is that right?
Yeah, that I will be playing solo, but yeah, May 31st, I will be playing at the People's Food Co-op, which is going to be fun because I've never played there. I'm bringing the marimba, and I think I'm just playing totally acoustic, and it will just be come and buy some food or hang out, sit and by me, and I will play tunes for I think an hour and a half or a couple hours, and then we'll have the full band at the Buttermilk Jamboree, which is in the middle of June, and that's just north of Kalamazoo, and so we'll be playing a late night show there with all four of us, and we have the Hopcat we're playing, and Josh and I are both playing at that. I think that's July 1st. So that's some local shows coming up.
Is there a list of shows where people can find you, or do you have a website?
Yes, great question. The list of shows and the website, I'm part of the Earthwork Music Collective, which is a group of Michigan songwriters, and you can go to earthworkmusic.com. And there'll be all the artists listed, but you can find me and I'll have the poster up there and all the dates scheduled. And from there, I'm working on my own website, but right now I just have a Dee Dee and the Dreamers. You can Google search it and you'll find a Facebook page and you'll find our Reverb Nation page. And Dee Dee is D-E-D-E.
Thank you.
Just for helping for Google search. But there's videos and there's all kinds of good stuff on there. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank the both of you for coming in and sitting with us today.
Yeah.
We're here with two members of Dee Dee and the Dreamers. Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys coming in.
Thank you so much, Craig. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, Craig, it's been wonderful working with the team here, and WMUK is such a pro studio. So thanks for having us.
Great. Thanks, guys.